text for our morning's meditation on this Easter celebration is from Mark chapter 16, these words. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" So our text. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Easter morning, a similar question confronts us. A similar question on this Easter morning, and that is, who will roll away the stone? Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of our heart? Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of our heart? For we know the answer to our first question, the question of Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, and the answer to their question, the question as to who would roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb, was answered with an open tomb. The stone rolled away already by, as we read in Matthew 28, an angel of the Lord. Who will roll away the stone from the tomb of Jesus? An angel will. An angel of the Lord will do it. And did. And let's be clear here, perhaps you've wondered this before. An angel of the Lord didn't roll the stone away from the tomb to let our resurrected Savior Jesus Christ out. The angel of the Lord rolled the stone away from the tomb to show that our Savior Jesus Christ was indeed resurrected from the dead and no longer there. So how then did Jesus get out? Well, he passed through the walls of the tomb, even as he would later pass through the walls of the upper room where the disciples would be hiding and there appear to them. Yes, the resurrected Christ passed through the walls of the tomb and then descended into hell. He descended into hell to proclaim to the souls in prison there that he had indeed rose from the dead. And then Jesus began to appear to all those who believed in him, beginning with Mary at the tomb. And Jesus would then appear to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and also to the other disciples, including Thomas. Thomas, who, hearing about Jesus' resurrection, doubted it was so. Thomas couldn't bring himself to believe that Christ was risen from the dead until Thomas himself saw Jesus and touched Jesus, his hands and his side. What we could say then was what stood between Thomas and the resurrected Christ was not the stone of the tomb that the angel of the Lord rolled away, but the stone that covered Thomas's heart, a stone of doubt and disbelief. And there Thomas wasn't. Thomas isn't alone, is he? For the question remains first posed a few moments ago about the stone covering the entrance of our hearts, the stone that prevents our living Savior from entering our hearts, because that so often is the situation, isn't it? Even if we simply believe in the factual existence of Jesus. Well, the devil does the same, as do the demons. They all know and believe that Jesus exists and is risen from the dead. Of greater importance, then, is whether or not our risen Lord and Savior is actually dwelling within our hearts, or whether we simply have shut him out. We've pushed him out, even thrown him out and put a great stone over the entrance there. Now, what would cause us to do that? Perhaps a death in the family, the death of a child or a parent, or a beloved grandparent. And being so saddened by their death, we have become angry with Jesus for not saving our loved one. And from that moment on, we have banned Jesus from our heart. Sure, we still go to church on occasion, on Christmas and Easter, for a wedding or even a funeral, but that's just for show, to get along, to not rock the boat. But truth be told, we no longer want Jesus in our hearts. He's no longer welcome there. Well, perhaps our education has made us a skeptic. A skeptic of so much of what we read in the Bible. And having been made fun of at a party of or two for still going to church, we've stopped going. And to assuage our conscience, we've even stopped thinking about Jesus. I mean, to the world, faith in Christ can be simply nonsensical. So in order not to be embarrassed by Jesus, we nicely and politely nudge him out of our hearts, and we roll the stone in place so that he can no longer enter. Now perhaps we're just lonely. Perhaps we're just lonely and in despair, having been beat up by the world in so many ways. We can't seem to find a job that's fulfilling. We have a hard time with relationships, perhaps suffering a divorce or two. Our children, who were so cute when they were little, have turned into unintelligible alien beings of some sort. And things keep breaking down. The kitchen faucet, the furnace, the car, the computer. We just need to be alone, completely and totally and utterly alone. We just want to sit and stew and perhaps cry. And the last thing we need is someone like Jesus seeing us do so. So out he goes. And the stone is rolled over the entrance of our heart so that he can't get in. Each of us is different here. Each of us can make our hearts our own living hell. That is a place where Jesus is not. But the thing with Jesus is that he has been to hell. He has been to hell to proclaim his defeat of the leader of hell, and that's Satan. And Christ descended into hell after passing through the stone walls of the grave in which he had been laid. So what that means for us, for you and me today on Easter morning, is that whatever hell we are experiencing in our hearts, or our hearts have become, or even we have made, whatever hell we've made out of our lives, Jesus Christ, our resurrected Savior, the Lord of heaven and earth, can pass through the large stone that we've placed over the entryway of our hearts. The resurrected Jesus can pass through the wall of our heart into our own living hells there and proclaim what simply is true. That he's conquered the one who has caused it all. No, not us, the devil. You see, the devil, in participating in the death of Christ, did something even he's not allowed to do, and that is to take in death one who has no sin. And in so doing, Satan did that for which he'll be judged and is judged. That's why we can believe in Christ as our Savior, not only from sin and death, but also from Satan, from the devil. And in believing in Christ as our Savior, we receive what he is. We get the credit for what he has done. We're showered with the rewards that he has earned. The resurrection of Christ from the dead demonstrates that this is so. That the devil has no dominion, that is power or authority, over Christ. And if the devil has no dominion over Christ, the devil has no dominion over all of those who believe in Christ as their Savior. So any encouragement for us personally to expel Jesus from our hearts, any attempt to embarrass us for his presence there, any suggestion that rolling a stone over the entrance of our hearts to keep Christ from entering them, it's simply a farce. It's a ruse. An attempt by Satan to convince us personally that somehow our hearts are a zone of privacy where he alone can be, but where Christ can never enter. But of course, the resurrected Christ can, and he does. And he does so not to make us into spiritual superheroes to which nothing ever happens in this life because of the spiritual superpowers that he gives us, but Christ, in entering our hearts when we believe in him as our Savior, would give us the strength to live in this world, to live through tragedy, to strengthen our doubt, and rid us of skepticism. So even though we live in this world which is full to the brim with sin and death and destruction, we can live daily being not of this world and living as though we are not of this world. We can live in this world and serve the people around us in love and joy. Now, how to understand that? That's actually quite easy. If we've ever won anything or accomplished something or achieved something and we were buoyed by that victory, that accomplishment, that achievement, we know what it's like to live in the world, but apart from the world. For there, for a few moments after having done so, or a few hours or days, we can live in the knowledge of what we've done or received. And even if those around us don't care, we're not affected, or are challenged in one way or another by life, we can be with them and we can talk with them and help them with joy because of what has happened to us. So perhaps at this moment, you're thinking, well, I get that, Pastor, and certainly if I get on that sports team, if I win that tournament, if I get that scholarship, or that new position at work, or the girl I like, or the boy I like actually likes me back, then I'll be that way too. Then I can look at life in a new way too. But right now, even the past few days or months, no such good things have happened to me. Nothing. Nothing good. Nada. Actually, I'm at the end of my rope, and life is hard, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even know what I'm going to do this afternoon. Well, if that's the case, simply stop listening to the devil. Stop listening to the world, that is, all those around you. Stop listening even to yourself. And simply listen to Jesus, to our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus, to our Savior from ourselves, to our Savior from the world, to our Savior from the devil. Let's listen to the one who's conquered it all and wishes to give to us daily the spoils of his victories, the chief of which is a clear conscience and a mind and a heart free from guilt. For in Christ there is the free forgiveness for all of the stupid and bad and even evil things that we have done. Secondly, there is hope for a peaceful and joyous life lived even in this world of death and despair. Through faith in the one who is life and confidence. And finally, there's simply contentment. Contentment with ourselves at this very moment. Why contentment? Why contentment even as we face some very challenging obstacles and troubles in life? Contentment because we do not live all by ourselves in our heart. But since Christ has risen from the dead, he now wishes to come into our hearts and make his home with us and be with us every moment of every day, giving us the confidence and strength to live. So on this Easter morning, 2022, as the angel rolled back the stone from the tomb of Jesus to demonstrate that Jesus was not there, let us all roll back the stone from the entrance of our hearts to show that there in our hearts through faith is where Jesus actually is. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.